have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, we're going to be in Titus chapter 3. Is the PowerPoint going to work, Brian? With only one back in the booth, we're asking him to do double work, so we appreciate it, Brian. Called to be sui generis. Called to be sui generis. I'm voting for Donald Trump in the fall. I think he's doing a wonderful job. No, I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I'm voting for anyone else. I think he's doing a terrible job. I'm not voting. I think the virus is a hoax. I think the virus will be worse in the fall. Get ready. I agree with the protesters. I'm for cops. I think the protesters are un-American. I think cops are brutal. I hope you can understand what I'm expressing here is not Rick's views. It's views that we're hearing from all different directions. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We're going to be looking at Titus chapter 3. Paul is speaking to a church leader, and he's encouraging them. Here there's first century Christians. He's encouraging them. He's encouraging this church leader to tell his members of his church on how they should be living. And it is astonishing to me, and I see this so many times when you read this and you think this was information that was given to people in the first century, and yet can we see how easily it applies, how directly it applies to us today? We need to hear it just as much as they did. Whether or not you consider yourself a leader in the church, whether you have a role or not in the church, or you know, at your workplaces, wherever you are, you may not consider yourself or think of yourself as a leader, but understand when you proclaimed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were called out to be a leader. Much of what you say and much of what you do is leading people somewhere. You're either leading them to Jesus Christ or you're leading them from Jesus Christ in the way that you act. I'm sure many of you have heard that you are quite often the only Bible that many people will read. Well, one of our most natural reactions, I think, at least I see it in my family, I've not sat at your all's tables and grew up with you, but I imagine one of the most natural things is when you hear somebody say something that you disagree with, you feel a need to respond. Now, some of us respond louder than others, and some of us maybe don't say it, but we think it. We each want to respond. That's a natural action, part of being a human. We hear somebody say something, and we want to push back, either physically sometimes or with our mouths. We want to say something that is most natural. With all that's currently happening in our world today, can you just imagine how easy it is to communicate and how quickly we can communicate with each other? Some of you might be texting each other right now in the church. We have this ability to just, in a second, in the church, in our county, in our state, in our country, across the world, communication is just whizzing by so rapidly, so quickly. In any of us, we have the ability. Everyone who has a smartphone, a computer, access at work, right? We all have an ability to get on there and say something very quickly. the news. We all can choose now. It used to be, right, you could get it from the newspaper or one of the main networks, and now it comes from all different directions, including people outside of this country is giving us news as to what is happening. Woo! Again, is one of our most natural reactions is when we hear something that we disagree with, we want to respond. What I want to talk to you this morning is, what is it that God asks of us? How should we be living out our lives, and how or should we be responding in each case that we find something? What is it the Word of God teaches us to do? Understand, we are called to be different. We are called to be sui generis. A little bit of a education for you. That's Latin for unique. You're called to be unique, strange, odd, different. You are called to be different than the world around you. Jesus Christ is asking of you, Paul specifically here in writing to Titus, to the church, is saying, be different. Do not follow through with that natural reaction that we all have. These words here, again, from the Apostle Paul speaking to Titus in Romans chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all. That's a mouthful. I read that and I think that's superhuman. When I look back in my life, 54 years of actions and hearing things I disagree with, that's a lot. Asking us, in a sense, to basically be submissive and humble. A couple of things that we, and I can't speak for other countries, but I know us Americans, we don't like that idea. We were being asked to be submissive and humble. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know some of you are thinking there's a time and a place to respond, and absolutely there is. But I want to say, I think many times, the mass majority of our decisions, if we were honoring Christ, would have been better off to not respond. Titus here is being reminded by the Apostle Paul to tell the members of his church to be submissive and humble. Yes, our first duty is to Jesus Christ. If you proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, your first duty is to respond and react and live in such a manner that brings honor to him, whether it's in your workplace, in your church, in your home, in your neighborhood. That should be first and foremost. We are to be obedient to Christ. We are to be civil in a society that will not always be for the cause of Christ. This is how we are to conduct our lives. Submissive and kindness, unfortunately, are not natural. But we are called to a higher way of living. Understand, we are truly leading as Christians when we are being submissive and kind. Jesus said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Understand that when you choose to be submissive, to be humble, to hold your tongue at times when you feel this need to express yourself, you're bringing honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're bringing honor to him. I hope you had a grandmother like mine at some point in your life. Her view was, and I heard her say it numerous times to her family, quite often when it wasn't being practiced. Whenever you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. My grandmother taught me that. And again, I've seen her pulling that out at times when people needed to hear it said. Be submissive and kind. Again, quite often in the opposite is what's going on in the world around us. But the Word of God understands that we're still human. But notice Paul is saying this is where you were. If we move on in Titus verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, acknowledge and understand that, yes, that's where you were. You were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Again, we were foolish. Paul is saying, listen, that's where you were. That was your attitude prior to you knowing Christ. Listen, should we expect anyone who does not know Christ to act any differently? We shouldn't. And doesn't that say something to us about how we should be responding to those individuals around us who are not Christians? We should not be surprised that they act that way, because that is a natural human reaction. That is our nature. And again, if we're honest with ourselves, each and every one of us, I think I can say this, I know I do, we still wrestle with this. Listen, I've been on my way home before with something that I was upset about, and I've said, don't say anything, I'm not going to say anything, I shouldn't say anything, keep it quiet, don't say anything, it's okay, it'll be over, no reason to say anything about it. And I walk in the house, I say something about it. It's not easy. It is our natural reaction, but can you understand here, Paul's not saying you guys got to be perfect. You walk out of this building, you be perfect, and never open your mouth when you ought to be shut about it. Have a heart, have a desire, seek to have that attitude. Work on it. It is a process. You were at once that way. You had that mindset, and you embraced it. Because you sense this is how you are supposed to respond. If somebody says something that you disagree with, you've got to say it back. You've got to push back. There's this flow as if, a natural buoyancy or whatever, right? They push hard, you've got to push back. You don't want anybody to say anything or feel as though they got something over on you. You want to get in your last word. And again, I know some of us wrestle with this more than others. And some of us maybe have a nature that's more lent in that direction than others. But let's not make excuses. Should we truly expect, again, those who are not Christians to live any differently? But yet those of us who proclaim to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be following Him as our Lord and Savior, we should care about what we say. And we should care about how others are seeing us as we choose to live out our life. We should not be embraced living this way. This is what you were, but now you know better. Verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You were that, but now that you have proclaimed to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, now that you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you know better, you can respond better. And notice Paul here is imploring us, listen, do you understand? He reached out to you when you were yet a sinner. He didn't reach out to any of you because you were worth it, in a sense that you now that you become perfect, I'm going to reach down to you. No, He reached down to you knowing full well that you were a sinner in need of salvation. It was His grace and His mercy that drove Him to reach out to you. None of us here, sitting here, deserve the love that Jesus Christ gave to us. When you were in that shape, He reached down to you. And can you see Paul is imploring us? We should now feel compelled to, in turn, show love back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we do that is by being obedient to what He says. And one of those things is being respectful and responding in such a way that's honorable to Him. He did this because of His love for us. As He poured out His love for us richly, He's now calling upon us to pour out our love towards others. Since He has been so merciful and gentle to us, we should in turn devote ourselves to good works. And again, the good works we're talking about this morning is our attitude towards others. Verse 7. So that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs
according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Understand, it is profitable. But yes, it brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I hope you can understand it also brings goodness to your own heart. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but if you, and you've had times when you held your tongue and you can walk away and feel some sense of peace that you did the right thing. It is good for us. It is profitable for God. It is profitable for our neighborhoods for us to avoid being divisive. Part of our doing good, again, involves us avoiding some things in verse 9. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Obviously, there's a time and a place to have a discussion. But many times throughout our day, it is best for us, I believe, and most honorable to God for us to keep many of our opinions to ourselves. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for I am profitable and worthless. Basically, I bring that, to me, it's basically avoid divisive words and behavior. You know, just because you have a different opinion than someone else does not require that you share it. Sometimes we feel that way. I gotta get it out. I hear something be said. I need to make a correction. Woo! Again, that's our natural reaction when we disagree with others, whether it's in our own family or whether that's in our workplaces and in our churches. Again, I know some of you may be hearing some words that I've said since I've been here as a pastor, because I've said many times, we are going to disagree. There is a time and a place for us to have a discussion about those things that we disagree. But I want to say, vast majority of time as we go throughout our days, it's probably better off if we keep some of those things to ourselves. For me, when I think about when should I share those things, I want to say one of them, it has to be a point in your life when you feel as though that individual you're sharing with is hearing you. You feel like you have some influence in their lives. Listen, I want to tell you, there's many times, even as a pastor in a church, working with the membership, or as at work, wherever, there's many times that I've not said something that I felt absolutely needed to be said, but I felt like it wasn't the time, it wasn't the place. Maybe I wasn't even the right person because I didn't have that kind of relationship. I'm going to tell you from my heart, I'm not there yet, but this is where I'm trying to get. I don't want to share something with somebody else unless I feel like it brings some value in their life and into mine. And I think if you feel as though it brings no value, then why bring it up? Yes, if you're in the middle of a meeting where a decision is being made, you're talking with your family and you got an issue that needs to be, or you're amongst friends where you feel like this is just fun. Let's talk about it. Let's bounce ideas off one another. I have a coworker of mine. Him and I, we happen to be in line with a lot of things. And over the years, I've worked with him for 30 years. Over the years, we've gotten to the point where we are comfortable with one another and we share anything and everything, and it goes back and forth. And I realize he doesn't get mad with me most of the time, and vice versa. Sometimes we do get a little, but for the most part, right, he's someone who's close to me, someone who I know is listening, but I don't just share that with everybody. I don't want to be hurtful. I don't want to be wasting my time sharing things that are simply just making noise. Look again at what the letter to Titus says, verse 10. What it says about someone who's living a divisive and troublesome life. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. One who stirs up division. I think if the Apostle Paul was with us today, he would be calling out a lot of Christians for being divisive, Again, sometimes I feel like the social media has made us less respectful to one another because we have such an ability to say something just by typing it at 3 a.m. and whoop, and you send it out. Maybe you'd have never said it sitting across from them, but you just shared. Got to get it said. Listen, this morning I want to say, if you don't know who I voted for or where I stand on some of these issues in the world, that's on purpose. I don't necessarily feel the need to share with you my views on all of the stuff that's going on in the world. And listen, there is a lot of stuff. I don't know about you, but I've chosen right now, I feel like I'm trying to stay more and more away from the news, because now it seems like the news is, much of what we're hearing from the news is pressing us to be more and more divisive. I'm not here telling you should never listen to any of it, but I'm telling you, I can say with my own heart, it's being good to stay away from it to some extent, to not be listening, especially not on a day-by-day basis. Listen, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a politician. I'm not a healthcare professional. I don't pretend to understand much of what needs to be done concerning many of these things. And I think if you're honest with yourself in the midst of some of these discussions that you may have got over the last few months, do you really understand and fully know what all is going on? We have to put some trust in those leaders who are over this. Again, it's whether we're in the church or whether we're talking about the state, the federal, or the world to some extent, right? The hope is that they have some knowledge, that they have more knowledge than we have. We hope that they would listen to some of the right people. But I'm not in their position, so I'm not going to try to stand up and condemn them for every decision that they make. There's no value in that. There's no value to me, and there's no value to them. When I come home from work, I get home around 4, somewhere 4:15, a lot of times. And as I'm pulling into the driveway, my neighbor's dog, I can't remember the name of it because it's a weird name, some Hawaiian island or something, I don't know. But my neighbor's dog, she likes to have a little conversation with me almost every time I get home. And I can't really tell if she's mad or glad, but she's got to have a little conversation with me. And sometimes I talk back with her. Sometimes the neighbors across the street, they have a couple dogs. They join in. Next thing you know how it is. You've been around dogs. They get started and it's just coming from everywhere. But you know, when I get in the house, I've gained nothing from all that they had to say. Nothing. Right? What value has come from that? I wanted you to ask yourself this morning, have you been doing some barking? And be honest, as you think about that, have you done some barking that has simply boiled your blood, right? Got you stirred up, got you angry, and yet when it was all said and done, it was no different. It was no more valuable than that barking that I hear when I pull in the driveway at the house. Have you found yourself in that position? This may sound a little far-fetched, you got to make your own decisions. There's not a scriptural reference for this. I don't like bumper stickers. I'm serious. I don't like bumper stickers. And listen, I've not looked at any of your cars. I sincerely haven't. And I'm telling you, when I go out, I'm going to intentionally not look as I'm leaving. I don't know what you have on your car or don't have on your car. This is just an overall thought. I've told it to my family before. I don't like bumper stickers, and I want to tell you why. I'm being serious. I'm being serious.
We are too. We're being serious.
that you're laughing at me, right? Or you're laughing with me. When you put something on the back of your car that says something, many things, right? If you want to say you went to Nag's Head, that's one thing. I don't know. But when you just think about this though, when you put something there, whether you put it on your car, you put it in your yard or whatever, you make a statement. Can you not see to some extent that's nothing more than a bark? And to some extent, what that does is that puts up walls. Because there are other people that will look at that and think, all of a sudden, you're in that category. Right? That's part of our human nature too, right? We put people in categories. Oh, that person's this kind of political affiliation. That person thinks likes these people, or these people don't like that people, or they're union, they're non-union. What, we put people in categories. And when you put something out there, understand you are, and I understand people like to do that, but I'm saying from a Christian perspective, think for a moment. Does it bring value to what God is calling us to do on a day-to-day basis? To put that up there, to put some kind of sign that says, this is me. Can you not see that in some ways that puts a wall up for your ability to do what it is that God has called you to do, and that is to love and care and share His love for others? I remember during the Obama administration, and listen, don't misunderstand me. This is not my endorsement of the Obama administration at all. It's just during the Obama administration, quite often during those 8 years, there was continual discussion about being politically correct, and there was a lot of frustration. We don't want to be politically correct, and that, you know, I heard it all over the place. That was something I looked that up, and I was just curious. According to the Cambridge Dictionary, being politically correct is avoiding language or behavior that any particular group of people might feel is unkind or offensive. And think of what Lisa was saying about the pool, right? Those little three-year-olds, they're not sitting there banging out all their opinions towards each other and next thing you know, getting up all mad and separating. They're keeping some of those thoughts to themselves. And I realize maybe they don't have as many thoughts as a 54-year-old is. But they get along because they're not trying to share all these differing views, not trying to separate themselves and put themselves in different categories. When I read that definition, I thought, yes, I am politically correct. It is my desire to be politically correct, and I think it is a Christian ideal to be politically correct. I open with the words of Romans 12:18. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. We are to do this so that we may gingerly draw them unto God. Call me politically correct and I'll say amen by the grace of God. I'll read you one last scripture and then speak for just a moment and then we'll close. Matthew 5:43 and 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We are called to be sui generis, unique, different. We are called at times to hold our tongue and simply share, as my mother said, grandmother said, right? Only share if you have something good to say. That ought to be our attitude if we want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, I know many of you here personally are doing those things. I say that because I've had conversations with you and you have been encouraging to me. And I don't know about you, but I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He's given me desire to have this kind of attitude. And I want to say with my own heart, as I look back, I can see different moments in my life when I was more apt to be the one doing the barking and the one who was doing quiet. And I can say with my own life, I found much more peace being the one who wasn't doing the barking. I can tell you again, as I have matured, there's been times in my life, I'm not perfect, don't misunderstand me, but I have found myself able to sit quietly as someone else barks and not bark with them. It is possible as we listen and respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's speaking to your heart in any way as we get ready to prepare to sing.
I need thee every hour.
I encourage you, have a conversation with the Lord. Even if it's in your own seat during the song, talk to the Lord about it. And listen, if there's nothing about this sermon that has compelled you, that you feel like you're right where you need to be, then praise God for Him for giving you that desire. But if there is something that you feel like you need to make an adjustment to, today, this morning, is a wonderful time to make that adjustment. If you want to talk to the Lord about something else, maybe you're concerned about somebody who needs to know the Lord, or simply an illness or sickness, the altar is open. I encourage you. And again, as I said earlier, the altar is wide open. Come up as you want. I will stand over here to the side. If someone wants me to come, all you do is give me some kind of a look or whatever, acknowledgement, and I will quickly come to your side.